Welcome to Coffee and Jesus. Today is July 30th, 2020, and it is a beautiful day outside here in Texas. I'm Jael, your host, excited to talk to you about revival. Yes, I know my first two prophecies were a little more positive in telling you how to think about the coming year and our role as Christians in helping non-believers to come on board and love our Jesus. Then in podcasts, prophecies 3 and 4, I had to give you some more interesting news, a lot of things that we're not, so happy to hear about, and yet you needed to be warned. And so this is not really a prophetic message, but I want you to consider now what happens after this is all over. So we need to be concentrating on what's coming next, which is revival. Once we get through this second round of turmoil in the fall, we have to be preparing for revival. As you learn about the revivals that were recorded in the Bible, you can see some commonalities between them. For example, they occurred in times of moral darkness and national depression. And that's where we are right now. Each one of them began in the heart of God, and He energized revival through the Holy Spirit through particular people in particular regions. Each revival rested on the Word of God, and the Word of God was proclaimed with unusual power. All resulted in a return to the worship of God. And I believe everyone who is an evangelist or an apostle or who operates in the prophetic has been saying that the Lord wants us to submit and repent. Each time there was revival, we witnessed the destruction of idols where they existed. In each revival, there was a recorded separation from sin. So the people returned back to their native roots, so to speak, of the basics of Christianity, returning to obeying God's laws. Restoration of joy and gladness came about, followed by a period of national prosperity. There are many, many instances in the Bible that are recorded where people experienced rapid growth in numbers through the operation of the Holy Spirit within the body of Christ and churches, beginning on the day of Pentecost, because on that single day, 3,000 people were won, as recorded in Acts 2, verse 41. On another day, not long after that, another 5,000 were saved, recorded in Acts 4, 4. And then later on in the subsequent chapters in Acts, we read about the great multitudes that turned to the Lord. So that's coming. I can't give you a time frame on it, but you should feel it. You should already be feeling that. In the Old Testament, oh my goodness, there are so many instances of revival. Jacob and his family in Genesis 35, Israel at Sinai under Moses in Exodus 32 and 33, Israel at Shechem under Joshua in Joshua chapter 24, Israel during the time of Gideon in Judges chapter 6. Let's see, the northern kingdom at Carmel under Elijah in 1 Kings 18. The Assyrians at Nineveh around the time of Jonah in Jonah chapter 3. Judah under Asa or Asa in 2 Chronicles 15. Judah under Hezekiah in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. Judah under Josiah in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. And I could just go on and on and on and on and on. And then we get into the New Testament. Revivals under John the Baptist during the time of Pentecost. The Samaritans, Cornelius, the conversion of the Gentiles at Antioch. Antioch's extension ministry through Barnabas and Paul. The Europeans under Paul on his second missionary trip. And Paul at Ephesus. So revival is not something new. And like I said earlier, it happens once there is a period of mourning, a period of depression, that's when it happens. And so we're there right now. So many people are without so many things, y'all. It really is sad. It is heartbreaking. And as a minister, I weep. I literally weep because, you know, you just hate to see people suffering like they are. And yet we know this has to come about because the heart of the country turned against God's way. So let's talk a little more about why we need revival and how this is going to come about. So before God brings change, he always shakes things up. If you look at the Old Testament and the history of the Israelites, I mean, it happened every time. So God's coming change is either going to be good news or bad news. The bad news is that some things must be let go or torn down. The good news is that something better is coming. And whatever God plants, great things come about as a result, as it tells us in Jeremiah 1, verses 9 through 10. Now, prophecy is a way for us to know what is coming. There are many prophets in the Old Testament. There were major prophets, there were minor prophets. And then, of course, in the New Testament, there was John the Baptist, who foretold the coming of Christ. For God to come down, we must be on board. We must be prepared. We must be surrendered. When we are proud and selfish, then we stay stuck where we are. So we need to humble ourselves and our hearts to clear the way for the Lord, for the Spirit of the Lord to come down. To see the kingdom of God, we have to repent. I'm going to keep saying this until everybody gets it. Repent and submit. Matthew 3:2 tells us that the kingdom of God is at hand, and the time is now. The time is now for the church to get back to being what it's supposed to be. It is time for believers to stop being Sunday Christians, culturally acceptable Christians, and just do what God says. We need to experience God's glory. It's time for us to really have an intimate relationship rather than all of this knowledge. What does the Bible say? That people perish for lack of knowledge. We must change our actions and our minds. This is not an automatic thing usually, because external forces and our human nature tends to interfere with that. So if our mind is not changed, our behaviors will not change. Our mind must agree with God's mind. A mind change requires us to empty us of ourselves so that he can fill us daily. This is very, very, very important. Our relationship with the Holy Spirit is important. And this determines how much we experience God. So the Holy Spirit gave birth to the church in Acts chapter 2. And the Holy Spirit is God in a different form. But he's man. He's a man. He's not like Jesus. But he's our comforter, our guide. And we have to submit to his authority and accept what he tells us. We have to be led by the Holy Spirit rather than be led by man. Because the Holy Spirit is perfect, just as Jesus is perfect, just as God the Father is perfect. And he speaks for the Lord. We don't have the final authority. They do. There's no way that we could even minister or understand the Bible without the illumination of the word for us from the Holy Spirit. Now, there are things that we can know and understand as human beings in a general way, in a surface way, but to know things deeply, the Spirit helps us know those things. We should desire to meet and experience more of the Lord. That's really important for us to have a spiritual experience rather than a religious moment where we get the little hairs on our arm standing up when someone sings really well. You need to feel that fire, that wind, that breath, that air that comes about you when the Holy Spirit is working on you and through you and around you. God has been waiting on us, and He's ready for us to come home. And so we have got to be set on fire. We have got to be set on fire. And in order for us to be set on fire, we have to be fully surrendered and just open to whatever the Holy Spirit wants us to do. I did in the podcast yesterday a whole segment on quenching the Holy Spirit. So quenching means to put out fire. That's what 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says. So the idea of the Holy Spirit as fire makes sense, because when we quench the Holy Spirit, then we have put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. Now, His fire is inside of each of us as a believer, and we need to make sure that that fire is always lit. You know how the young people talk about being lit? Well, this is the kind of lit you need to be. So we need to prepare our hearts for true revival and have a Holy Spirit-led mind and heart. And then things will be illuminated for us. So let's prepare for the great revival that's coming, not only to the United States, but to the world. And the question is, are you ready or will you be ready? And I hope that your answer is yes. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the many examples and instances of revival throughout the Word of God. Thank you, Father God, for every disheartening thing that's happening right now to turn the hearts and minds of the non-believers towards you. And Lord, we know it's a difficult time with people getting sick, people dying, people being laid off, people are homeless, people are hungry, people are angry, people are hurting, people are grieving. And yet, Lord, we know that you can turn all of this around for your good and for your glory. So help those of us who believe. Help us to use the Word of God to endear people to you, not make them run from you. Let our lives be such a way that people want to know, what is it about you that makes you so happy and full of faith during this seemingly hopeless time in history? Help us to be your hands and feet, Lord. Let our words not fall on deaf ears. Let it be seeds planted in the ground that will bring forth and bear good fruit. We thank you, Father God, for the revival that's coming after this awakening. And we align our hearts, our minds, our beliefs, our values with you, Lord. May your words trump our beliefs, our opinions, and even our cultures, so that we may honor and glory and edify you, Lord. Help us to stay encouraged. Help us to stay faithful. Lord, we just bless you and we worship you, Father. We love you so much for everything that you've done and everything that you're going to do. But most of all, Lord, for your selfless sacrifice on the cross, the redeeming blood of grace. Revival, Lord. Help us to bring about revival. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for listening today. I can't wait to see what God's going to do after this period of time is over in the fall. Get ready. Revival's coming. Bye, y'all.